Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Y'all know, like, building a real legitimate funnel takes time, man. It takes time. It takes obsession. It's like every individual funnel you put out the door has been so thought through. So to think you got to go do it again, building another funnel, like I was saying, to solve money problems or to increase sales is probably one of the longest distances to more success ever.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's up, Sales Funnel Radio? Hey, I got a call in like a few minutes here, but I just want to send this your way. Hey, I wanted to tell you kind of one of the approaches that I've been helping to be able to increase sales of several companies like this. Okay, think about this. You have a product, you put it out the door, right? You got a funnel, you go do all this work, maybe do an event, maybe do some kind of webinar, but there's a lot of coordination that goes into that. A lot of marketing is very similar to event throwing. Like, think about all things you got to do to put on an event. Super similar, right? Super similar. Like, think of marketing campaigns like event throwing. And then campaigns get really easy. It's like, well, what would I do to throw a party? I'm like, oh, this would be interesting. What about that? And all you're doing is you're weaving a sales-based storyline throughout it, right? That's really all you're doing. So I've been looking at a lot of these companies, and I've been seeing what their sales have been and what they've been doing and how they've been selling. And one of the first things I see is they go through all this work, all this trouble to go launch something. And you know, like after you go launch something, there's usually a bit of a droop. In fact, if there's not a droop in sales, you're rare. Basically, a huge, all this preparation, all this work goes out, you launch something, there's a big droop in sales, and then suddenly you're wondering, you know, how to increase your sales again. Now, what I usually advise at that point, and what I like to do, is I do a big launch campaign, huge launch campaign, or for lack of a better term, I do a big marketing event. if you want to think of campaigns like that, a big launch event, and then kind of like Hollywood with, right, the red carpet and box office weekend and rolling out to, you know, the actors to go on tour and all over the place. Like, I mean, they do the same event every time. We even know about, like, we all know what's going to happen. There's hardly any surprise left in it, and it still works that well. That's why I was laughing. Someone's like, webinars don't work because they know about the webinar. And I'm like, you know how Hollywood's going to sell you next, yet you still buy, right? Don't knock webinars just because yours isn't working, right? They work, right? That means you're the variable. And happy to help there, by the way. But there's always a droop of sales, right? There's a droop afterwards. And I like to take the launch cash and then dump it into evergreen activities. So you do all this work, you get a big launch bundle, right? You get a heavy purse for a second there. Do not take profit, right? That's what I don't do. Don't take profit. What you do with launch cash is you go dump it into evergreen activities, things like content. Then what you're doing is you're turning on these engines that don't need you for the future sales. Yes, it's a slower drip. Yes, you don't make as much money up front, but you also get your time back. And so you can see why I've done so many launches in the last few years is that exact principle. Launch cash goes in, right? As much as possible. Now you might need to pay some bills. You might need to pay off some funnel builders. You might need to, right, whatever that, but as much as possible, don't try to keep, hang on as much of that cash as possible. And you go dump that into evergreen activities. Otherwise you're, what's that phrase? You're robbing Peter to pay Paul, right? Or whatever. It's almost like, I talked about this once on another show I did for quite a while, but if you take profits too fast, you end up drinking basically the primer. Right, it's like those old pumps. You had to prime the pump with some water. So there'd be like a bottle of water at the top. You dump down the pump And as it's a primer, right? And then actually the water starts coming like crazy. And then at the end, you just fill up more primer water. Well, if you take all of your launch cash, you've essentially drunk your priming water, right? You missed the whole point. Yeah, you can make a lot of money. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have, I laugh when people are like, well, that's just a launch business. Yeah, okay, well, launch businesses make millions of dollars. So is it that big of a deal? Like, but if your goal is automation and your goal is to like have more time freedom and your goal, then you really need to think about automated evergreen sales activities, right? The evergreen automated sales stuff. Like content. That's why I push so much content. And that's one of the reasons I push it so hard. But that's one of the ways that I first tell companies to go increase their sales. So as I go in and I tell them like, look, you got to invest in some more evergreen traffic getting vehicles, right? You need to control lead flow. If you control lead flow and you can do it at break even, not even better, just at break even, even if it's like a little bit lower than break even, you're only like, you win the game. Right? You control lead flow at break even, you win the game. And that's why funnels are so powerful. And so a lot of people will solve the, hey, I need to make more money problem by building another funnel. And that's the only way they know how to solve the, I need to make more money problem. There's nothing wrong with that, but it has a lot of danger to start confusing your audience, a lot of danger to start making your life chaos as you fulfill multiple things. It's just not a great scalable model. So as much as possible, I truly believe in building now, especially with my background, as strategically few many funnels as possible. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a bunch of front ends, right? A bunch of small bottom of the value ladder things that just gets another lead in. Totally. I build tons of front ends. But I mean like your core main thing, right? The real thing that you do, having multiple is not smart, all right? It's not smart to have tons and tons of stuff. And then the value ladder, then they go to this, and then they go to this, and then they go to this, and then they go to this. And then people make these value ladders that look like staircases up to the Eiffel Tower. Then they go here and they go here and they hear the gear. They're like, stop. Customer can't, they have a hard time following you that far anyway. Anyway, so the whole point of this, I'm setting it up. I'm teeing it up here. Hopefully when I'm teeing stuff up, that's valuable too, to just give some backstory and stuff. So one of the best ways I have found, besides increasing, you know, how things sell, besides taking launch cash and dumping it into evergreen things, besides, like I said, upgrading the funnel and then building another one, besides all that stuff, one of the easiest ways to increase your revenues that I have found personally is by just refreshing your hook. Meaning, think about this. So when you got a sales funnel, right, there's copy on the page. There is obviously an offer that's there or some way to like schedule a call or become a lead, right? Maybe it's a lead funnel, not a sales funnel, that you don't collect the cash on the funnel. There's a lot of people who do lead funnels, right? And they're like, hey, we just need phone calls or we need, does that make sense? So that you can go upgrade those. You can optimize that. That's all awesome and good. But upgrading the hook is one of the best things you can do. And the copy on the page is usually at the top, if they're good and they know what they're doing. Very first thing you see is a hook. And most of the time it's the title, it's the headline. And that hook is so important. That hook is as much of a magnet as it is a filter, right? And so the hooks that you create, like if your offer is starting to get kind of like offer fatigue on the internet, which happens to every offer, it's okay. Like if you're starting to get some offer fatigue and your offer is starting to wane on sales a little bit, one of the first knee-jerk reactions I've noticed from funnel world is that a lot of us will go build another funnel, which is easily the longest distance to more success ever. Like y'all know, like building a real legitimate funnel takes time, man. It takes time. Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon.
That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode. It takes obsession. It's like every individual funnel you put out the door has been so thought through. So to think you got to go do it again, building another funnel, like I was saying, to solve money problems or to increase sales is probably one of the longest distances to more success ever. By contrast, the shortest distance to more success I have been finding is first, number one, how can we just increase traffic? Meaning, how can we get leads at a cheaper price? More leads at a cheaper price. That's it. How do I solve that? That's really the problem that you start getting married to after the funnel is launched, is how do I get more traffic at a cheaper rate? That's really it. And like forever, all right? That's the rest of the game. Bam. And there's a lot of ways you can do that. But the opposite side of that is to go in and just refresh your hook. That means you don't usually, I mean, you might have to update your sales message a little bit to match, but your sales message a lot of times can kind of stay 80% the same. Your offer can usually stay the same. Maybe you got to change the title on something. Maybe you got to change the title of a bonus or something like that. But even then, usually I find I don't have to. And it's been one of the more surprising aspects whenever I'm coaching a client, like a big client or someone that's corporate or someone that's big, is a lot of times they'll be like, all right, Steve, we're in here. Let's go. What funnels do we need next? I'm like, well, show me your current funnels. Like, yeah, but we need these other ones. I'm like, yeah, but if these funnels have ever sold anything ever, it is shorter distance for us to just tweak, optimize, and make this better than it is for us to go birth an entirely new funnel. And I usually start by figuring out who the dream customer is, figuring out what they're trying to sell, figuring out. And I, after that, am going in and it's hooks, man. It's hooks. And so I, for a long time, did not know what a hook was. I kept asking, man, like, I would say that it's really only been a year and a half since I really feel like I've had a clear formula on hooks. And even then, it still continues to update. The hook is its own, man, you can have a career just in hook writing. It is its own skill set. And that's different than just full out sales message writing, right? Which obviously they need each other. But, as much as the sales message needs the offer to sell, the hook, but they're just different. They're different. Treat them differently. A hook and a sales message, they're not the same thing. And I always thought that they were. And so the way I would write my sales messages, the way I would put my stories out, the way I kept thinking I was coming up with these hooks, but a hook is not just a sexy title or headline. A hook is this thing that goes out and perfectly describes the desert that you want your dream customer to be in. Right? Similar to what I was talking about, the priming water and all that stuff, right? I've given this example in the past, but I think it's one of the best ways to describe what I really believe a hook is. My formula for hook writing is dream customer plus dream marketplace times dream scenario. And most people will think that it's the dream, it's my customer's dream scenario. It's not. It's the dream scenario that I want as a company for the person to be going through that makes it the easiest sale and fulfillment ever, right? Like, think about this. When I first got ClickFunnels, I was not just broke, I was negative cash flow living on loans, student loans. I was on, I don't know what number business attempt I was on. I went back and I counted. I think I was on business try number 18 when I first learned what a funnel was. I had built websites before that. I was also had done a lot of VAs. I hired a bunch of VAs to build websites for me and for other clients, and they just never quite sold. They never quite worked. And so think about the scenarios in. I was well-versed in the website land, well-versed. When I first heard what funnels were, the desert I was currently in, and I was thirsty and I was frustrated and I knew that. And I was like, oh man, I need
some more. I need more help. I gotta. So when I saw ClickFunnels, how hard do you think it was to sell me? Right? Websites are ClickFunnels or funnels desert. You got to know what your dream customer's desert is. And it's really your desert. You want them to be going through these very specific situations and scenarios in their life because it makes the sale and success story that much easier. Do you know what that is? Have you ever thought about that? That is a hook. And all I do is I describe it and define it. And my formulas continue from there, but it starts to pull out from that context that speak in terms of your dream customer's desert and try to make it so that your water factory sits on the edge of their desert, right? That way they need and want it. That way you solve a legitimate problem and make a healthy margin. Does that make sense? That's the stuff of entrepreneurship and capitalism that I love because it's very problem solving. And I hate it when entrepreneurs try to create a desert. Look how awful your life is. And imagine how terrible. Those are scare tactics. I hate that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about legitimate things that people are going through where you're like, ooh, yeah, that desert, that is my dream scenario for me and my sale. It's the dream scenario for my sale. It's the dream scenario for my success story for that person when they buy. And knowing that has been foundational to how I've been writing and creating hooks. And so a hook refresher on your offers is one of the easiest things you can do to boost sales, but also keep yourself from creating another offer or funnel. It just lets you refresh it in the eyes of the marketplace. And that's been one of my favorite moves. So anyways, guys, I got my call in less than a minute now, so I got to jump off here. But hey, guys, if you're liking this, please let me know. The Capitalist Pig group, we've been doing a lot of stuff in there lately. It's been so much fun. If you're not in that group, we have Cashflow Mondays that we do on the Mondays. My YouTube channel will be pushing out videos here very soon, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm just going to be talking more to the marketplace. I just want to be talking and teaching more. This is as much for me as it is for you. So I love doing it and just have missed it. So also, we are doing an NFT. If you want to go learn more about that, or if you've never done this stuff before, if you go to buyyourfirstnft.com, literally, biggest oversight in that entire industry, in my opinion. Can't believe I got that .com. But what it is it's going to be a free 5-day challenge, just walking you through it. No pressure, but I'll show you about all the tech crap. We'll show you about all the stuff. I don't believe NFTs are these weird pixelated animals. That's just how people have been using them. I'm more interested in their use for info products. I'm more interested in NFTs use for any other area we use contracts, you know? So anyway, I think you guys will love it. It's been super fun and we're keeping it really small. We want to basically create a really cool networking group of cool people who want to teach each other and, get rich on purpose. So we'll make it cheap. It is cheap, but we'll be dropping out here soon. So there's more details there. If you go to buyyourfirstnft.com or capitalistpig.io, those two right there. Awesome, guys. We'll see you in the next episode. And very soon, I'm going to start the series on where I review every major industry's funnel strategy that are my favorites. Awesome. Bye. NFT, crypto, DeFi, it's obviously all here to stay. And the tech adoption rate for this whole thing has been faster than the actual internet's adoption rate in the mid-90s, which is crazy. And there's actually a lot of billionaires that have moved a lot of their funds to crypto because it's like a stable asset for them now. It's mind-blowing. So how do entrepreneurs use this? Number one, don't abandon your business, okay? We've been using NFTs as community builders and product builders, and we want to show you guys how to do it. If you want to learn how NFTs fit naturally into your internet business, just write in. Go to buyyourfirstnft.com. That is literally the domain. And it's a free 5-day challenge. We're not talking about pixelated weird animals wearing rainbow crowns, which I think is really weird. And that's just how NFTs have been used, but that's not how we use them. There's an insane biz op right inside your own list and customer base, and we'll show you guys how to bolt that right into your business for free at buyyourfirstnft.com. Again, it's a step-by-step guide on how to set everything up and simplify all the tech stuff if you've never done this before. And those of you who have, we'll show you guys some pretty powerful how to bolt NFT to anything magic. So go over to buyyourfirstnft.com and take the free 5-day challenge now.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.